You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hey guys, this is Mark. Welcome to episode 130. In today's episode, we're going to talk to a business owner about what it's like to operate in New Orleans right now in February 2021. The last episode was kind of a split show. In the first half, we talked about Louisiana's moniker as Sportsman's Paradise and how I recently got to experience an outdoor adventure. The second part was a Q&A section where I answered a bunch of listener questions. Before we jump in, I want to mention Patreon. Today's episode is sponsored by our Patreon supporters. If you love the podcast, the Facebook group, and the work I'm doing in general, please consider becoming a monthly supporter. Find out more at patreon.com/beyondbourbonst. But for the price of a cup of coffee or a beer, you can help me continue to share my lens of New Orleans. If you join at the $10 level or above, we'll mention you on the show, like Tristan Nava, Rosie Barty, Megan Verne, and Susan Brady. Thanks to all of our Patreon supporters, and now on to the show. So today I am joined by a guest who owns a wonderful place called the Avenue Pub. And the reason that I wanted her to come on was to talk about not only the pub and the history, and we were talking, we'll get into it. I've known, I grew up right across the street at Mardi Gras, but I wanted to give some real insight into what it's like trying to operate a business responsibly during COVID and the lack of Mardi Gras this year. So welcome to the show, Polly Watts. How are you?
I'm living the dream.
I guess how are you is a loaded question right now.
The joke I heard was living the dream and running from the nightmare.
It's such a hard time. We were just talking. We're recording this a week before Mardi Gras, which normally would be a crazy time for a different reason for you guys.
Right.
And, you know, and now as we're going to get into, there is going to be no Mardi Gras as we know it. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about the history of the Avenue Pub. It's been in your family for a very long time.
It has. We owned the property when it was a place called Dick's Bar, which was probably in the 70s. And Dick retired, and we rented it out to Igor for a while, and it was a place called Harrington's. And my dad retired from civil service and decided he wanted to open a bar when I was at Tulane. And I helped him open it, and he had no prior experience except drinking in a bar. Had never owned a small business, so it was an interesting learning curve.
We were talking about before we came on, as a kid, I grew up coming to Mardi Gras across the street from Dick's Bar. There was a place called Pitney Bowes across the street, and we were talking about a gas station. And it's funny how people come to the same spot at Mardi Gras year after year after year.
Oh, they do. We have generations of people that grew up in the neighborhood and came when it was Dick's Bar. And now they're bringing their grandchildren.
Uh-huh.
And that's one of the sort of sad things, not sort of, very sad things about the no parades, is that a lot of the part that we enjoyed about Mardi Gras was seeing those same families. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see them one year and the kids graduating from high school, and then the next year they're in college, and you blink and they're getting married, and then, you know, a couple of years later they're bringing their babies with them, and, you know, maybe grandma is still with them, and, you know, they're bringing chairs for her now. It's those people that we see. Now, of course, they don't live in the neighborhood. They, you know, maybe they live out of state, maybe they live in Metairie, maybe they live in the North Shore, but they always come back to this corner to watch parades.
Mm-hmm.
And we really enjoy seeing them every year, and we've seen a few of them have come in and said, we're not going to be here for parade, so we're coming in for lunch because nice. We just feel like we need to be here at some point during the festive season, and so we've seen a few of them, but a lot of them, you know, if they live too far away, that's not possible.
Right. Well, and that's one of the things about Mardi Gras, and I've talked about it on the show. The reason it's called Beyond Bourbon Street is largely because Mardi Gras is so much more than that. And it's exactly what you just described.
Right.
You know, it's families, and it's seeing the same people on the same corner every year at Mardi Gras. And you might not see them the rest of the year.
Right. We frequently don't.
Right.
You know, see them the rest of the year. And, of course, Mardi Gras is always the time where I'm downstairs. Mm-hmm. Usually when I'm working, I'm upstairs in the office. But Mardi Gras, I'm downstairs the vast majority of the time. So if they do come in during other times and they don't necessarily say, where's Polly? Or if they do, right. Sometimes I'm not here or I'm in a meeting or whatever. But in Mardi Gras, my main job is the bathroom line. So everybody goes past me.
My first job working for my parents at Teddy's Grill was cleaning the bathrooms. I was 11 years old, and that was the job. Yeah. Right?
Well, and people come up when they find out I'm the owner, and they say, why are you not paying somebody to run the bathroom line? And I said, because it's the most important job in the building right now.
At Mardi Gras, yeah.
You know, definitely. And no one's going to pay the kind of detail to it that I pay attention to it the way I am.
Absolutely. So... Well, I want to get into Mardi Gras and running the business during COVID, but I want to share with listeners, because I'm such a fan of the Avenue Pub, about the place. So how long have you been running the business?
So I helped my dad open it when I was in college.
Okay.
And then I left and, you know, got my job, my career, ended up in Louisville, Kentucky. I was down here a lot for Katrina. Mm-hmm. Because we had a lot of damage and my dad needed some help. And then he passed away in 2006. Mm. So a year after Katrina. He was one of those people that passed away after Katrina, but Katrina killed him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a lot of people in that age group and older that just sort of lost their...
Yeah, it was just so much.
It was so much. So I moved down in 2006 and I've been running it completely... You know, all mine since 2006.
Wow. And, you know, I love, you guys have one of the best beer menus, gosh, in the Gulf South, I think.
Well, we used to.
it's a little restricted now.
It's more restricted now.
But you guys had that. But the other thing that I tell people all the time is the food is terrific here.
Yeah. We've been stepping up our food over the last 15 years. I really wanted the food to match... the beer and the whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And so that took a while.
Sure.
And we have a tiny kitchen.
Yes, you do.
I mean, it is tiny. And so there's, it's so limited by how much space you
mm-hmm.
have.
Mm-hmm. I told you, I grew up in a restaurant and you guys operate in, I don't know, it feels like 100 square feet maybe.
Oh.
If that, I'm not sure.
That. Yeah.
And now with COVID, you got boards around, you know, you got kind of doors around it, so it's even tighter.
Well, and that's a good example of, you know, and I think a lot of your listeners might not even be aware, one of the reasons that we cut our menu back and other restaurants have cut their menus back is that you can't fully staff a kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
We can only socially distance two people in that kitchen, and that's not both of them on the grill. That's one of them on the grill and one of them in the prep and on dishes. We can't put what we used to have in the kitchen, which was three people on the grill, sort of all working in tandem, because there's just not enough distance between them.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant that certain items had to come off the menu because we can't do them at the same time.
Sure. And that's a great example of one of the impacts of COVID that maybe people don't realize, having to scale back because of trying to be safe, right?
I mean, there's multiple... aspects of running a safe business, and the primary one is keeping your employees safe.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a lot to make that happen. I mean, we reduced the menu. We of course legally had to reduce the hours, but we have all the tables set up. What a lot of restaurants and bars with food ignore is they use the 50% capacity and they don't socially distance the tables. And that aggravates me because there are two parts to that rule. It's social distance. They have to be a certain number of feet apart, not to exceed 50% of capacity.
Hmm.
And a lot of people don't understand that. So... you end up with sort of a mishmash of the way people are approaching it. We took it very seriously.
Sure.
And inside, we can do, I think it's actually less than 25% of our capacity if we socially distance, which of course we do.
Right. And you lost all of the room at the bar itself.
Right. That's why it's so low.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, and there's just no other way we cannot maintain social distance if we add more seating on the inside.
Yeah, walking in and seeing the plexiglass over the bar and the stools gone and all of that.
Right.
The Avenue Pub is so much of a local place.
You know, not having stools there meant we could put that beautiful, you know, Mardi Gras decorations down.
Yeah.
So by the way, are a reuse from Jazz Fest.
Oh, is that
it
right?
It was in the kids' tent in Jazz
Fest. Is that right?
And my friend, the artist that did it, touched it up, and she said, I don't know where we're going to put this, but I think it'll look good. And we put it under the bar.
Yeah, so at Jazz Fest, they do. In the kids' area, they have a couple of Mardi Gras artists that kind of run that little booth.
Right.
I have 9-year-old twins, so we've spent a lot of time in there over the years.
Well, that was in the Jazz Fest children's tent in 2019.
Nice. And that's one of the things, you know, so there's no Mardi Gras for listeners this year. You know that probably. No parades. But there's the crew of house floats, and lots of individuals and businesses have really tried to make it as festive as possible.
Right. Well, I think, you know, when you say Mardi Gras to a local or to someone who has been local, maybe not now, but was, that means actually something different than it means to somebody that doesn't live here.
Yeah.
Because for us, Mardi Gras is a much more personal and for many people, a religious holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say Mardi Gras is canceled, what we've canceled are the big crowd events.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, if you talk to somebody who doesn't live here, that is Mardi Gras
right,
event.
Parades.
And I don't think we got any this week so far, but up until last week, we were still getting calls on a daily basis, like repeatedly, from people outside of the city who wanted to know if they could make reservations to watch the parades from our balcony.
Interesting, really.
So one of the things that I'm concerned about with this big weekend is I'm not sure that a lot of the people who are coming in town truly know what's going on here. They're going to be in for a rude shock.
So why don't you explain what has happened, what the mayor has essentially done for this coming weekend, which would be the biggest weekend of the year, probably.
Right.
And leading up to Mardi Gras Day.
Well, I don't know all the details for businesses other than mine, but what the administration decided to do was shut down all bars. This week, prior to this, they had the ability to serve to go, and they had the ability to seat outside. And to shut down all bars with restaurant conditional licenses, which are places like me that serve 50% food but still operate under a bar license. And I understand why she did it. I'm not happy about it. Nobody wants to be shut down. I think the challenge that the administration still doesn't seem to have figured out is how to punish and shut down the problem makers and allow those of us, which are most of us in the community,
right,
in the bar and restaurant community, to do it, to stay open.
Sure.
If you give me a choice between, you know, we either let you stay open and there will be a super spreader event, not at your bar, but other places, or we close you and there's no super spreader, well,
sure,
you know what choice I'm going to make. I'll close to keep that from happening. Challenge is understanding why I have to make that choice.
Mm-hmm. Right, because the rules that you just mentioned, it closes bars throughout the city.
All of Orleans Parish.
And it's largely, at least from my view, is because the city, has not been able to get the French Quarter and Bourbon Street under control.
It's more than just the French Quarter and Bourbon Street. There are three big problem areas in the city that they've had repeated problems with, issues with. And one is the Uptown College bars.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them have restaurant conditional license. I mean, they may only be serving a bag of potato chips as their food, and they're not serving, you know, toast au champignon like we are, right?
Right.
But so the college Uptown bars have proven very difficult. And then the ones in the CBD that catered to that crowd were also very difficult. It's a huge issue with the Claiborne Avenue corridor with, big crowds and alcohol sales and no masking and all of that. And then there's the French Quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not enough. It would not solve the problem to just shut down the French Quarter.
Mm-hmm. I see. Sure. And you mentioned that just recently in the past, I guess the past weekend, was the first time I had seen true enforcement. You mentioned the college bars up near Tulane was the first time I had seen any of them be shut down. And I don't know the circumstances
so
or how long.
I think the city has now shut down three college bars. Now, a couple of them were in the CBD.
Sure.
So they weren't uptown.
Right.
And then a bar maybe in the 7th Ward. And then several out in the east.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a record for the city and being
right.
Able
it's a handful.
Yeah, and I'm really glad to hear it happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, those places are doing the rest of the bars and restaurants and service industry in general huge disservice by their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody at this point can claim ignorance.
Right,
this
right.
Is, we're 10
year
months
in,
into
right.
it, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what has, you know, one of the things that I've been impressed with, and even prior to COVID, you guys at the Avenue Pub, I think really were an example of taking care of your employees and benefits and
tried.
Treating them,
yeah.
you know, like part of the family from what I can see. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm biased. Haven't grown up
maybe
in a restaurant.
Maybe a dysfunctional family, but a family, yeah.
I think that's sort of a given for a neighborhood
right,
place.
Right.
But how has it impacted you in terms of, obviously, people are losing wages. Have you had to cut back staff? And
yes. So we went into COVID with almost 40 staff members. Now, mm-hmm. those weren't all full-time.
Right,
I mean,
sure.
Some of them were just... you know, a guy that worked every Friday night mm-hmm. on the door, right? Or an extra porter for the for the upstairs if we had a party. But we are now down to 12,
wow.
I think.
And that's the reason I ask you is because I think it makes it real. People don't quite understand the impact on businesses,
right.
you know.
Well, so of those 40, we still have 12. And I think with 12, I'm including myself. I probably shouldn't because I didn't take a paycheck after the PPP ran out in June. But during a lot of that time, when we were either closed because mm-hmm. they wouldn't let us open, my employees, we offer health insurance. Now, mm-hmm. in the normal world, they would pay 50% of the premium, and I pay 50% of the premium. Well, it's silly to say, okay, I have to lay you off because I have to close, but, you know, send me the money for your half of the mm-hmm. insurance. Well, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, with what?
Right.
Right? The dimes underneath the sofa cushions? Mm-hmm. So we spent in 2019, and this is interesting, I think. We spent in 2019 $32,000 on our employees' health insurance. The pub spent that.
Mm-hmm.
In 2020, we spent $45,000 or $47,000
mm-hmm.
because we had to make up the difference with
sure.
You know,
yeah, you had
what
to cover that
not,
part.
Yeah.
Well, and a lot of businesses don't do that or can't afford to do it or don't pay benefits like you guys do. And I think that's one of my things when people see COVID. And, of course, people all over the world are being affected by COVID.
Yeah,
but you see
everywhere.
A business shut down or businesses having to reduce capacity. And then you don't maybe think about all of the back of the house, if you will, all the people it takes to run a business.
The reason that I have been open at all since the PPP ran out is to give my employees a chance to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the negative.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take a paycheck. I have reached the point where I can't dig into my savings anymore. That's
sure.
gone. But there's only one reason, because you know, all this fall after the federal supplement ran out in the summer, all this fall the most you could get from unemployment was $257 a week, I think. Nobody can survive on
right.
that.
Right.
So, you know, they were making far less than they're used to here at the pub, but they were making more than $257 a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were able to keep it going that way. Hopefully in the next 30 days, we'll get the second round of the PPP.
Sure.
And, that's going to allow us to pay their average weekly earnings
mm-hmm.
based on 2019 earnings, which means that all the tips that we reported for them in 2019, we'll be able to pay that as wages.
Sure.
With the
PPP. Oh, wow.
Not for the entire staff, but for the staff we have left.
That still makes a huge difference. I mean, obviously for you as the business owner, things like Mardi Gras particularly, but Jazz Fest, and for, you know, all those festivals are gone. But all of the folks that work in the front of the house that make tips, you know, just as it's a huge impact for a business owner, it's a huge impact on their wage or their income.
It's actually much more severe for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, most business owners have some savings. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that a lot of my staff had savings, too. But a couple of them own their own homes, you know, and they're struggling to put the money together to pay their mortgage and, you know, some of them rent. I mean, it's been, and of course, during this, emergencies come up. You know, your dog has to go to the vet, or your mom gets sick and you have to, you know, spend, you know, $200 on gas getting to Wisconsin to see her and take care of her in the hospital. I mean, that stuff hasn't stopped. Right. So, you can hunker down and spend less silly money.
Right.
But there's still basic expenses and emergencies you have to be able to meet.
Well, and again, it's a week before Mardi Gras. Normally, this would be humming, right?
Oh, absolutely. So Mardi Gras, normally, we make enough money to carry us through the summer, which we're always negative on. It's not as severe as what the drop down they see in the quarter, but it is less. And it allows us, it sort of, so usually at Mardi Gras, at the end of Mardi Gras, I have a project identified for the bar that I want to do. You know, I want to buy a new freezer, or I want to, you know, redo the draft lines, or, you know, all these things. By the way, we redid the draft lines when we were closed too. but so we do all that. We have a little project, X amount of dollars set aside for that. And then the rest kind of goes in savings, and that's what gets us through. Things start to drop off in June, but really July, August, and oddly September. Used to be June, July, August.
Right.
But since Katrina, September is not a great month either.
Yeah, and I always remember in the business, again, the early part of the year, the spring leading up to Jazz Fest was really good. But then by the time August hit, you know, that's a really rough month.
It's terrible. Yeah.
If things are going normal, you know, if things are well.
Exactly.
Now, maybe we'll get to a point where October, you know, if we get far enough in the vaccines.
If things open up, I think there is such a pent-up desire to travel and drink and eat out and just sort of get out of the house. I think if things loosen up by summer, by June or July, I think we'll see more business than we would normally see in a June or July. I may be the perennial optimist there, but I think July and August will be better because all those small events that you have in those months, people are going to be so happy to do something that I think they're going to do it. Right.
I think it's a great point.
Right. So I'm hoping, again, the perennial optimist that if we get well vaccinated, if the infection rates are down, that summer won't be as bad as it used to be.
It's a good point, and particularly for locals, right? I so miss sitting back here on the patio having a drink or sitting upstairs and watching the streetcars tumble by.
And our upstairs has not been open since COVID.
Right. I have 9-year-old twins. My parents watched the twins, or a friend watched the twins a week ago, and we looked at each other and thought, well, we can order takeout, you know?
Yeah.
And we would normally go out and patronize a local business. But,
I think you bring up a good point. My customers tend to be the careful ones, right? I'm careful. I've probably only eaten out since March less than 10 times. I've not been to a bar other than my own. I feel safe in my bar because we spent $55,000 replacing the HVAC system for the COVID, the COVID killing technology. But most businesses don't have the money to do that and maybe aren't even aware that it's out there. So I won't go any place that I can't sit outside and I know the outside tables are socially distanced. And there just aren't that many places where I can get both things.
Right.
And it's funny because two nights ago we went to the Deliche's, which is one of my favorite places, right? And it's got the socially distanced tables, and you sit outside. You don't have to enter the building. I mean, if you have to use the bathroom, you would have to go in. The servers are masked. They do a really nice job. And they are going to be closed down this weekend, too. Mm-hmm. Because they have the same kind of license I do.
Oh, yeah. And just as a New Orleanian, this is a time typically, and you're right, Carnival and Mardi Gras mean something, I think, for locals that may be a little bit different. And it scares me what you said earlier, that you could still have sort of a deluge of people. In our Facebook group, which you're a part of, you still see people asking about coming this weekend.
Yeah.
And if they show up, I worry about what are they going to do, and how's the city going to handle it? And of course you have no businesses open, and you know, that's just sort of a recipe for disaster and disappointment. But as a local, this is the time when you're out a lot. You know, we're out in the street with the kids every night, and we're buying local, and we're you know, or you're picking up something to go to a party or something, and all of that is gone. Not only the social aspect, but the spending of the money is gone.
Oh, absolutely, because people just aren't spending the same money because they're not having the parties,
right?
And
you know, you're not.
Yeah, it's hard because you want to find things to make it feel like Mardi Gras. And
right.
Honestly, like the decorations we did outside, and the artist, I talked with her in November, and I was very lucky because she's a good friend. She basically did it for a bar tab because I had no budget. I mean, like, I haven't had an income. And I said, Allie, this is how much money I have. And she said, I got you. Don't worry about it. So next year we're going to add to it, and we're going to do it down the side, and I'll pay retail.
Right.
Because she was very, very generous, with us this year. But she asked me, she said, what do you want? And I said, I just want something that makes us smile and makes people smile. That's it. I want them to drive down the street and for a little moment say, isn't that pretty? Cause we need that.
Yeah.
You know, so if that's the only part of Mardi Gras we get to experience is driving down the street and saying, isn't that pretty? Or in some cases, clever, because some of these house floats are
amazing. Yes.
You know, that's what we do. That's all we can do.
Yeah. I mean, our kids are 9 and they just don't quite get, well, what do you mean we aren't going to catch anything? What do you mean we aren't going to go hang with? So I was telling you, we're going to go to the beach. I've missed 2 Mardi Gras in 50 years.
Right.
And we're going to go to the beach because I just don't want to be around on Tuesday or really even the weekend.
Right. I will tell you that I was getting back to the closure for Mardi Gras. I was getting, and my staff too, was getting very nervous about how those days were going to roll. Now, we would have handled it.
Sure.
We were going to have somebody outside the door on a stool, masked up, giving people directions on what they could and couldn't do. And then we were going to have somebody behind the host stand telling them exactly the same thing. So those massive crowds were not going to get in our...
It brings up a good point, though, right? How do you funnel that and how do you do that appropriately?
You say no a lot.
Right.
You know, you just say no. And the problem with saying no to customers, especially when they've been drinking, is they get really nasty.
Sure.
Not all, but many.
Right.
And it's emotionally very difficult to have that conversation with people from out of town, mostly people from out of town, because locals pretty much know what the rules are here, who want to say over and over again, we don't have to do this in Phoenix. We don't have to do this where we're from. You know, I don't understand. It's just a, you know, what is it? It's fake news. You know, we hear that every day. And after a while, you just can't have that conversation with another customer. And then, of course, you appear rude.
Right.
Because, you know, this is the 18th million time today you've said, will you please put on your mask to go to the bathroom?
Right.
And then they don't leave a tip or...
Well, and we should point out, you know, this is where the pub is right in the heart of all the parades come by here.
Oh, we're, so, yeah, we're parade central.
You know, it would be nothing in one block to have probably 1,000 people, you know, or close to that,
I would
imagine.
Way more than that.
And so, you know, you're talking about many thousands of people within a couple of blocks, and people are used to, right? And obviously it's a prominent bar on a busy corner.
Right.
Yeah, and I hadn't thought about that the impact, kind of the mental impact on businesses and those employees having to constantly
So we ended up, I mean, as bad as it is to lose the money, we ended up being a little relieved. And I just want to say something about the money. I knew 6 months ago that Mardi Gras was not going to be the financial event that it usually is. So, you know, we might do 25, 30 grand on a Bacchus Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
On a, you know, on a good Bacchus Sunday, weather depending and all that, right? This year, the max that we can do with all of our seating taken for the entire day is about 2,000 or 2,500.
Wow. And the weather's predicted to be really pretty cruddy.
Right. So when they said you're going to cancel Mardi Gras, or we're going to close you during Mardi Gras, I didn't suddenly realize that I was going to be losing $25,000 for that day. I knew that months ago.
Uh-huh.
So what I'm actually giving up, and maybe even not because of the weather, is more like $2,000 for $2,000 a day for those days. Because we don't have the physical capacity, again, with the social distancing, to do those kind of numbers.
Sure.
It's absolutely not possible.
Yeah.
And I think some bar owners hadn't really reconciled that yet.
So that's a
big
shock.
So they were thinking, okay, well, if I normally do 30 grand on a Bacchus Sunday, then maybe I'll do, 15. Mm-hmm. Uh-uh. Mm-hmm. Not if you're doing it right.
Right. Right. And now, again, we're predicted to get pretty cold weather this weekend. Certainly cold by New Orleans standards, but pretty cold, which is, going to further cut into people trying to have outdoor things, even if it was open. This has sort of been a doom and gloom, but I did want to mention one thing you said, two things you said. One, this idea that popped up about house floats and decorating businesses and homeowners decorating, to me, it kind of runs the gamut from they look like, and in some cases, there are actual floats or pieces of floats on businesses and houses. Some look more like the truck floats, like the families kind of home decorating them.
Well, and I love all of them.
I think
do too. I've been driving around and I haven't gone on a house float hunt yet.
Right.
Like I haven't even looked at the map, but just driving around for doing things that I need to do. And I love the ones that look like truck floats too.
Right.
And a lot of the ones that look like truck floats are really pretty clever.
Yes.
Maybe they aren't such great artists, but they have great senses of humor.
Yes.
I really hope that this tradition continues.
And that's where I was going. I think that it will. I think that New Orleanians like to costume, like to dress up.
They do.
Like to poke fun.
Right, they do. And I really, really hope to see. Now, granted, a lot of those set pieces that you see on the big houses came directly off floats and we'll probably go back to those floats next year.
Right.
But I'm saving all those flowers out there. I'm saving them. I have a place to store them. They're 6 feet wide. But I do have a place to store them. Allie looked at me and she said, the artist, and she said, do you need us to store these for you? She had a little trepidation in her voice. And I said, nope, I got that. You've done enough.
Well, the scale, of some of the pieces, you see them on floats and you see them go by quickly.
But that's right.
Some of them, seeing them walking around town on businesses or homes, you realize how big they are.
Oh, they're massive. Well, Allie had in her warehouse a bunny, an Energizer bunny, that I guess had come off a float or some set she had done or something. And we had originally talked about putting it here. Its footprint is 6 feet by 7 feet. And there literally is no place to put the bunny.
Right.
We just don't. And I don't even know if she found a place for the bunny. But it was a great bunny. I really wanted it to be in front of the pub. But there's the safety and permits would have gotten on me about blocking the sidewalk.
Well, I also think it's been a way, one, to employ some of the artisans, and also to showcase their work.
Well, and you do, and so that's the thing. Most people, when they're trying to catch things off a float, I never try and catch anything because I don't need any more stuff. But so I pay attention to the float, but I think a lot of people don't really see
right.
the detail that's on those floats. So the one big flower that I put on the side of the building down, I saved because I wanted it to be eye level or close to eye level because the detail is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just beautiful. And you don't get to see that.
You don't.
When you're...
You're in the midst of the crowd or you're dealing with kids and trying to catch things or keep them from getting run over.
Yeah.
You know, at nighttime, particularly if you happen to be close to the float, you can't kind of grasp, like we're talking about, size or the details.
And then if you are far away, the crowd's in the way.
Right, right. So I think that's a positive, and I do think it'll continue. I'm also optimistic. You mentioned it earlier. Maybe by the summer we start to get back to at least some new normal, and then... Assuming that happens, October is shaping up to be kind of a crazy month.
October sounds a little scary.
It does.
And I will be honest, we've had several conversations in the office, my GM and I, with a little bit, oh my God, how are we going to do that? But we'll swing back into it. So the other odd thing is being so slow for so long. I wonder at this point, after 10 months, how many of our skill sets we've lost.
Sure. It's hard to flip that switch.
Yeah.
Right.
So, because at this point, moving slowly is the muscle memory, not moving fast. But we'll
right.
figure it out. And I do think, you know, I honestly do think there's massive pent-up demand mm-hmm. for New Orleanians and then people from outside who love our city. And I mean, we have locals and we have what's the term I use, that out of town locals,
right New right? Orleanians that just
and
don't live here,
because a tourist I think of as somebody who's never been to New Orleans and books 2 weeks to see Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm.
So much of the tourism that New Orleans gets are from regulars,
right? Absolutely.
They may live in, like, I have a group of 6 or 7 Canadian friends
mm-hmm.
who come down every year for Mardi Gras, and they're close friends now. And now sometimes we go up to visit them in Canada and other times, and we're not going to see them this year.
Right.
So technically, are they tourists? I guess, but I don't think of them as tourists because
right.
we know these people and we see them all the time. But a big group from Houston that in a normal year would come down, mm-hmm. they're down once a month.
Right.
Or down, over.
And you see it for Jazz Fest and French Quarter Fest.
Absolutely.
And people, it's their annual thing. So what we're referring to in October is, at least right now, French Quarter Fest and Jazz Fest are both scheduled to take place in October.
I know.
And along with the pent-up, like you said, the pent-up demand and New Orleanians in general, although it's typically still hot, it could be fabulous.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. It could be fabulous, and it could be a little scary with just the
right.
craziness, but we'll
right.
see. Anyway, I just, we are just trying to keep an eye on things here.
Yeah.
I just wanted to...
Well, this is the problem when you interview me at work, because I can't stop
You can't turn
working.
It off. Of
yeah,
course
for
not.
Your listeners, to explain what weirdness just happened. A customer got up and walked across the backyard, and she didn't have her mask on, and she didn't go inside, so I didn't say anything, but that's what I was, like, in mid-panic about.
And that's kind of life right now, right?
It's like the perfect example of...
Exactly.
Of the way it is.
Polly, I appreciate so much you taking
pleasure.
Some time to do this.
It was really nice to talk. And it was especially nice to talk to somebody who's local, who sort of understands a lot of these traditions. I've been doing a lot of national interviews. Mm-hmm. And
I miss the everydayness. So you don't know this, but I come here and a handful of other places to work on the podcast a lot, where I can have a beer and have the normalcy and be around other New Orleanians.
Well, thank you for doing that.
And hear the streetcar out front and get a great bowl of hummus, by the way,
mm-hmm.
and a good burger. And I have 5 or 6 places like that, and I just miss it, right? It's just part of your everyday life, and all of a sudden, it doesn't exist. But, I just wanted to share with people what it's like from one business owner's perspective and multiply that by thousands of businesses in various financial conditions, in various...
Oh, there are many that are worse, way worse off than I am.
You know, it just... all of the people that are impacted, again, beyond the business owner. And I just wanted to kind of make that personal for people.
Thank you.
So thank you for
doing
it. Hey guys, you know this if you're a longtime listener, but new episodes are available every other Wednesday. If you love the show and love New Orleans, please share it with someone else who shares that love of New Orleans. Until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.